Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Must have not have got a lot of. Hi, everybody. It's Patrick Foster here. You're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our podcast. Today, we're going to spend a few minutes paying tribute to the late, great Joe Ely, who just passed at the age of 78 recently following a battle with Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's disease. Joe Ely leaves behind an incredible body of work, and it has been some of my favorite music since I discovered it. And we're going to be hearing from a listener in just a bit. And like that listener, I discovered Joe Ely through his connection with The Clash, which was wholly unexpected. Although, looking at it in hindsight, you can certainly understand the spirit that was common between the two artists. Joe Ely was born in Amarillo, Texas, in West Texas, and he was raised in Lubbock. He grew up in the same area as one of his heroes, Buddy Holly, that desperate sort of windblown landscape. In the early 1970s, he formed the Flatlanders with his friends Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Butch Hancock. Though their initial 1972 recordings were only originally released on 8-track, another beautiful part of their legend, they were later issued and they became founding pillars of alternative country and West Texas music. There is an incredible compilation of those recordings called More a Legend Than a Band that I highly, highly recommend. In 1977, Joe started his solo career and put out a couple of just fantastic records, including his self-titled debut. His blend of country and rock was something that appealed very much to The Clash when Ely was over there touring in London. And eventually The Clash came to see him backstage and they struck up a friendship. Ely toured with them. He even sang backup on Should I Stay or Should I Go? And Joe Strummer later commented that Ely should be making an album called Lubbock Calling. He moved seamlessly between acoustic ballads like the incredible Letter to Laredo and his Roadhouse Rock, and as well as Tex-Mex music. A fabulous example of the latter is a record he made with the group Los Super 7. It was released in 1998 and featured Joe Ely with Freddie Fender, Flaco Jimenez, who both played with the Texas Tornadoes and are legendary musicians in their own right, Rick Trevino, David Hidalgo, and Cesar Rojas from Los Lobos, and Tejano vocalist Ruben Ramos. As I said, all throughout Ely's career, he made interesting and excellent records. Anything you see with the Joe Ely name on it is going to be quality, in my opinion, at least all the ones I've seen. And I've listened to a lot of them, and I've seen a lot of them, and I have a lot of them. and we're going to hear some wonderful stuff just in a minute about Ely's live work. I do want to read a quote that I found in an appreciation written by the author Michael Hall. This was published on Texas Monthly magazine in December of 2025, the 18th. So just about a week ago or more. Quote, for many Texans, Joe Ely was our Bruce Springsteen. The two men had rock star charisma, distinctive voices, and sang about and sounded like the places they were from. Springsteen sounded like New Jersey. Ely sounded like Texas. I saw each of them perform live for the first time with a few months of each other back in 1978. While Springsteen was a known quantity packing Austin's 18,000-seat special events center, I stumbled upon Ely as a University of Texas college journalist on assignment. As I watched him on stage at the same city's Armadillo World Headquarters, I realized I was hearing something I'd never heard before. He and his amazing band, including Jesse Taylor on electric guitar, Lloyd Maines on pedal steel, and Ponty Bone on accordion, were playing rockabilly, country, blues, honky-tonk dance numbers, sweet waltzes, and yearning border ballads, as if all those styles were one grand thing. Some of the songs were Ely's own, and some were by friends he had grown up with in Lubbock. This, I realized, was Texas music. Ely was the first performer I heard mix it all up and proclaim, "This is what Texas sounds like." Wonderful summary right there from the writer Michael Hall. And now I would like to turn things over to David Lee from Oakland, California. He has sent in a voice note, and I would like to share it with everyone now.
Joe Ely just passed away, and I just wanted to share my passion and appreciation of Joe Ely's work. To me, he's three live albums really capture it, starting with Live Shots, which from opening with The Clash in England, and is where I really introduced me to his music.
Well, I left my home out on the great high plains, headed towards the new terrain, standing on the highway with my coffee cup, wondering gonna pick me up. I had my hopes up high. I never thought that I would ever wonder why I ever said goodbye. I had my hopes up high. Well, the first shot I got was in a dynamite truck. The driver kept telling me his bad luck. As we swerved around the curves, I began to shout. I said, "Hey, mister, would you let me out?" I had my hopes up high. Never thought that I would ever wonder why I ever said goodbye. I had my hopes up high. Oh, come on, sing it!
Live at Liberty Lunch was one with his band with David Grissom, which was a really fabulous band. That really captured his 1980s work.
Well, there she was, way down south, scared me to
And then the final one would be live at Antoine's, which was a great album, which had the flamenco guitar player and Jesse Taylor from his first band, along with Joel Guzman on accordion, and just really capturing the range of experiences. Joey Lee was one of the best live shows I've ever seen. He was friends and connected with people from his story of picking up Townes Van Zandt while hitchhiking when he was young, to his touring with The Clash, to opening for the Rolling Stones, playing with Bruce Springsteen. But my favorites is just seeing him with a band, really doing it. His work with the Flatlanders was really fabulous. I got to see him live many, many times. What a great experience. So rest in power, Joey Lee.
Sherry was a waitress at the only joint in town. She had a reputation as a girl who got around down Main Street after midnight. A brand new pack of cigs, a fresh one hanging from her lips, a beer between her legs. She'd ride down to the river and meet with all her friends. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Sonny was a loner, older than the rest. He was going in the Navy, but he couldn't pass the test. So he hung around town, sold a little pot. The law got wind of Sonny. One day he got caught. He was back in business when they set him free again. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Now Sonny's playing eight ball at the joint where Sherry works, when some drunken out-of-towner put his hand up Sherry's skirt. Sonny took his pool cue, laid the drunk out on the floor, stuffed a dollar in her tip jar and walked on out the door. She's running right behind him, reaching for his hand. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Hey, jump in Sonny's pickup. He jammed her down in gear. Sonny looked at Sherry, said, let's get on out of here. The stars were high up, the moon was in the east. The sun was setting on them when they reached Miami Beach. They got a motel by the water and a quart of Bombay gin. The road goes on forever and the party never ends.
Thank you very much, David, for sending that in. Means a lot. And I think it's a wonderful way to appreciate Joe's music, especially interestingly enough that those live albums all came out at such interesting intervals, as if marking moments in Joe Ely's career. Live Shots was 1980, Live at Liberty Lunch was 1990, and Live at Antoine's was 2000. So that works out very well. To close, I'd just like to briefly tell you the story. And if I am repeating myself here, I'm sorry. But I did have the opportunity to meet Joe Ely once. I happened to be covering a Flatlanders concert after their comeback at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. And I was sitting at the back taking notes in my notebook. And the manager of the group, who seemed to be an astute fellow and probably knew the rock critic was sitting in the back there, asked me if I wanted to come back backstage and meet the band. And once I picked my jaw up off the table in front of me, I said, absolutely, I would be honored to do that. And not only did I get to meet Butch and Jimmy Dale Gilmore, but I got to meet Joe Ely, and he was as cool and as laid back and as humble as you might imagine. Just in the few, 15, 20 minutes I spent in their company, it was pretty amazing to get the vibe off that guy. And I hope some of it rubbed off in the spirit of all kinds of incredible music. So with that, we'll take you out with a little more music from Joe Ely. We want to say rest in power. And we will be back and we will talk to you guys next week.
You say you want drama. Give give you drama. You want muscle, I'll give you nerve. You want sugar, would you settle for honey? You want a romance, would you settle for love? 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 Or do you need all that meaningless stuff? Would you settle for kisses, I'll give you all I got. You want diamonds, would you settle for rhinestones? You want a romance, would you settle for
country, blues, honky-tonk dance numbers, sweet waltzes, and yearning border ballads. Lubbock calling.